Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Comunicado Oficial, the podcast. We're back this week with another episode. Today we have two people in the podcast. First of all, as usual, we have Faye. Faye, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
Yeah, then for the first time ever, we have a long time friend from how many years? It's almost 10 years now. But yeah, it's been an absolute minute, and we've always been talking about sports and soccer/football from time and all. And it's good to finally we just decided to link up and talk about this, because as usual, I remember we used to argue about these things a lot, and I just record that, you know what, I need this guy.
Every Saturday and Sunday.
We'll come up and we argue about this. So for the first time, I would like to welcome Joe Daniel. Joe Daniel, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it so much. So, yeah, I'm sure we all know what, as usual, it's a new week. This week we had games and all of that. So, we'll just go straight into it. First of all, we're going to discuss like the Arsenal West Ham. Actually, no, we're going to start with the Chelsea game. Joe is a Chelsea fan, so we'd like to give you the floor to explain what and what not your problems with your team is. And you guys lost 2-0 today. And yeah, what do you think the problem with, first of all, was? And I know the red card was a problem as well too.
Honestly, for the most part, I don't think there was a problem with the game. If you ask me, like you're playing against literally one of the best teams in the world, definitely the best team in the league right now. Mm-hmm. You don't go there playing so open and trying to, you know, enforce what Chelsea is trying to do, mm-hmm. because you know that is the height you are trying to get to. You don't go there trying to play like that. You know, especially when you don't have your key players and all of that. So it was always going to be a situation of manage the game, stay compact, stay focused, and take your chances, because we have quick players. We have players like Kante who can win the ball real quick. Mm-hmm. We have players like Jorginho who can make pinpoint passes. We have players like Kovacic that can take the ball and run, you know, and then we had the quick ones like Havertz and Mount and Timo Werner, who if you ask me has been terrific, you know. So I feel like that was always going to be the game plan. I looked at the fullbacks. The fullbacks stayed behind. You can't let Rhys James and Alonso keep flying up front. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the game plan was just, you know, was the game was going to be won or lost in midfield pretty much, you know. So, you know, it was, and I felt like we were in the game where we're doing fine. I can't really remember any clear cut chances that they had before the red card. Of course, it's Liverpool, they're going to keep knocking the ball around. Zuma and Christensen were terrific, you know, for the most part, you know. The red card just happened, you know, the one time we decided to go forward, because of course, you know, if we get to win the ball and we, you know, we are not just going to keep on countering attack, or we are not just going to keep running. If we get the chance to move our players forward and push them backwards, of course, we'll take our chances. And I feel like that's what happened. We couldn't keep the ball. One thing happened. Henderson gives a long pass to Mane, and that happened. Concerning the red card, definitely it's a red card. I'm not going to sit down here and defend Christensen. It's a red card, but I just feel like he's young. He's not the most experienced. Definitely he's putting in the work. But I felt like Mane was still had like a couple touches before he could shoot on sight. Mm-hmm. You know, he should have let Mane take a few more steps. Kepa was close enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just wrong judgment. He just made the wrong choice. He just made the wrong call, you know. And even if you were going to bring him down, definitely not like that. Like, at the very least, putting a slight tackle. If you end up taking his legs, fine, it's what it is. I don't feel shove. Like if... Yeah, you get what I mean, you know. If he had taken his legs, I don't think it would have been a red card because it wasn't a clear goal scoring opportunity. There was still a good distance, if you ask me, there was still a good distance between where the foul happened and you know, where the goal was or where the keeper was, right? So if he had slight tackled and, you know, all of that, I don't think that would have been a red card, but like he just literally jumped on him pretty much, you know. And once you do that, I just turned it off. But once you do that, you know, of course, the game becomes more difficult. Even at 1-0, I was still okay. Mm-hmm. I would have taken a draw 100%. Kepa just decided to be stupid. It's like, of course, you back your players, and of course, you know, you support your players, you know, maybe you put some blame on defense if your keeper concedes a goal and all of that. But like, that was clear point stupidity. Like, there's no way I can defend him. Literally, there's no way I can defend him. It's like you're playing against the most difficult team you don't want to come across.
Mm-hmm.
You're one man down, and you still decide to be stupid. You get what I mean? It's like. Mm-hmm. It's like what are you trying to do? Like, are you know, an agent? Like, I don't get it. Like, what's your point? So what are you trying to achieve? You know, this wasn't a situation of maybe it was a misplaced pass. He had the whole time in the world to kick the ball away. Yeah. And what's even annoying me most is like he kept doing this all game. I don't know if you really watched the game, but like I was really scared at the beginning. Like. If we
those passes out of the back.
Yeah, at the back. It was just
against the Liverpool team that press off like that.
You get what I mean? You know, it's not they don't just press. They literally suffocate you. Like Mane and Salah are literally in your 18-yard box. Mm. I could see at some point they are literally standing at the edge of the 18-yard box. They are not moving. They're like, play your ball. We are going to stand here. And you look at their midfield, the likes of Henderson and Keita, they are already on the other half of the field, and it's like
waiting to
collect the ball back, and you look at their fullbacks, they are literally playing midfield. It's like what is actually happening, you know, and you decide to do the stupid mistake. So it's annoying because he wasn't under pressure as far as I'm concerned. And it's like, dude, you know, I heard people say, you know, he's under pressure in terms of like, you know, a new keeper is coming in. I'm like, dude, that is when you
need to step up your game.
You step up your game, man. Like, there's no excuses for that. You know, I honestly love the Chelsea team, man, and I'm really hopeful for what is going to happen this season. You know, even at 2-0 down, we still were able to, you know, win a penalty. You know, people are saying, you know, it wasn't a penalty, whatever. I really don't care.
It was a penalty, like.
You know, Timo Werner was still fighting, walking his socks off, was still doing what he had to do. And it's like, you know, we had a chance to make it 2-1. You know, it's like, Kepa, you get what I mean? You know, it's like, even after a red card, Tomori came in and was literally like a brick wall, you know, was defending everything that came into the box. So I'm not scared. I'm definitely not mad. I'm just mad at the fact that Kepa made a mistake that I don't want to say it wasn't uncalled for. It was just stupid. It literally was just bare stupidity. And it's just, you know, like we still had a chance to take something out of that game. Even at 1-0, so we still had something, we still had a chance. Even with 10 men, it's like there was still a game plan. There was still a plan. Of course, it was going to be more difficult, but there was still a game plan. And it's just at 2-0, I wouldn't even lie to you, me myself, I wouldn't even want to continue playing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know what, the game is over. But I felt like, you know, Jurgen Klopp is really smart. He brought in Alcantara to open up holes that didn't even exist, open spaces that didn't even exist, you know. But we still stayed very rigid and barely gave them any chances. I can't really think of how many clear cut chances that they really had. I really cannot think. It wasn't a game that Liverpool killed us, or like, no, we stayed in the game. So one more thing before I just finish talking about Chelsea, it's like, I also love the fact that, let's be honest, last season we probably would have lost that game by more.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? I mean, for the love of Christ, the last game we played against them, we conceded 5 goals. You get what I mean? But like, the season is a marathon, it's not a sprint, but it feels good that, you know, these first few games, we have dug in, we have showed resilience that didn't exist in the past. It's still the same, pretty much the same defenders, but there's a new mentality. People are more awake, you know, and it's, you know, there's just a new mentality, you know, and it feels good. It feels good. It's like, at the very least, that's what you can give in a football game.
Yeah.
You might not be your best game, but at the very least, you have to fight. And you can see the centre-backs fighting. Zuma being terrific, making slight tackles upon slight tackles. It's just a big shame that your defense can be as good as much as you possibly want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then your keeper can just mess up everything as he did today. Literally, that was it. You know, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the Chelsea team. And honestly, I see us challenging very well for the title this season.
Okay.
If everything clicks, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. From my own opinion, I do agree with you, honestly. Like, I still felt like the game was in the balance, even at 0-0. Even at 1-0, I still felt like there was a chance of this guy's coming back into the game and Chelsea, like, playing off the ball and everything. But my own situation with from the start was this situation of Havertz Mount. Mount is not a winger. I don't know why people think he's a winger. I think he's a number 10 or inside number 8, like those kind of players that play in that, what do you call it, inside number 8, like all of those kind of players. But he keeps on starting him. Obviously, today, I liked what he did. I like what Lampard did. He played Werner on the left, Havertz on false nine, which is going to happen in the future a lot.
Yeah.
But he now played Mount as a winger. For me, I felt like today was a day like, Hudson-Odoi, I know he's not the best at this point, but you need that kind of outlet where you can just pop the ball up. Because Liverpool are not going to allow you to be playing tiki-taka and everything. And Havertz, I feel like today was not the day for Havertz, honestly. Like, Havertz coming to a new league, you still need to find that thing. And obviously, you want to play your
best squad.
Would be your best squad. But today was not the day for Havertz at all. It was not good for Havertz to come and play him. And this Havertz amount thing, I think it needs to stop. It's not ready. It's not going to work right now, honestly. Like,
I didn't really watch Havertz, you know, all through his time in Germany. But, you know, people keep saying, of course, that's not his best position. But, like, those are positions he's played and he's still done excellently well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I look at them also like, I feel like what Lampard is trying to do is like get as much versatile players as he can get. You know, get players that, you know, they can drift easily. You get what I mean? You know, it's like, so I feel like when you have players like Mount and Havertz, it's like, yes, maybe you see them popping up in the wings more often, but like, you know, they move into central positions and they are still causing trouble. They move up front, they are causing trouble. They move to the wings, they are causing trouble. They have the skill and the power to like, to still cause trouble and win things, you know. So I feel like definitely things like that, that's what we get from players like Timo Werner. With players like Havertz, you also get that. So it's just, I feel like when he has like Havertz and Mount, I don't know. Of course, I'm not sitting with him every day in his office. I just feel like he has those players so that he can, you know, they can do everything. You get what I mean? It's not like a typical Hudson-Odoi. Or like Eddie Hazard that's just going to hang to the wing and drag defenders out and drag them back in. It's like those players pop up every single way. Like they just pop up. You get what I mean? You know, they're everywhere. Yeah. You know, 1 minute you're seeing Werner on the left wing and next thing you're seeing him fighting Van Dijk or fighting, you know, he's going in centrally, you know. So I feel like that's what he's trying to do. Have all those versatile players that can just pop up everywhere and interchange and, you know, cause defenders troubles. Like they can't focus on one person and mark. And so, I mean, that
fluidity,
literally, that's literally just the word, I guess. So, as I said, those things come with time, right? Those things, those things come with time. But I'm happy. I hope it doesn't get to the point where we start questioning Frank's Lampard's how good he is. But at the end of the day, if he's not the man for Chelsea, whoever comes in next has a very good squad. Exactly. Yeah, you know, so I'm happy where the club is heading. These boys are young. What, 22, 23, 24, 25? They have their whole career in front of them. Ziyech is probably the oldest of, like, 27, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're still good. Honestly, we are in good hands. We'll be fine.
But I just have a quick question about Tomori.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Because they are saying Tomori is heading where again? Out on
Everton.
Loan. Everton, which would actually be a good signing for Everton, can't lie.
Honestly.
But I just don't know why they're not lying. Because Tomori, every single time I see him play, I've not seen him
disappoint.
Do something stupid, even before Thiago Silva came in, honestly, I still felt like there was competition for centre backs in Chelsea. The only problem is just they were all pipes. not like pipes, but like they were just
not up to standards.
Yeah, not up to standards. You know, they were not players you can take to war. You know, but I feel like this season that's going to change. Honestly, I love Zuma. You have no idea.
Yeah.
It's like Zuma may not be your Ferdinand or Vidic, but he'll bring you down at the very least. It's like he'll put in slight tackles and he barely gets any of them wrong.
Yeah.
He's a brick wall. Mourinho loved him to death. You know, so I'm good on that. And it's like Tomori and Christensen. Christensen is still iffy. He puts in a few good games and when he's shit, he's absolute shit. You know, there's no in between. Rudiger, I don't even know what to say about that guy. But then Tomori is solid, you know. Yeah. Like this is someone who has barely played for a while. He didn't play for a while, like when last season ended, and came in today and bust every single thing.
Mm.
Like he played against Zuma, and like typically when Zuma and Christensen play, I see Christensen and Zuma pop up, like do all the dirty work and shit like that. But like Tomori came in and I didn't see Zuma anymore. You know, I'm not saying Zuma was not defending. Definitely he was. But it's just, he was winning all the headers, popping everything, all the crosses that Alexander-Arnold and Robertson were putting in. He was clearing everything, you know. The goal that Mane scored, if anybody had probably blamed Rhys James, you know, he would have probably been a little bit more alert. But, you know, I'm honestly really, really excited, man. These boys are young. They're strong physically. Yeah. They're there. And then we have Thiago Silva who is going to teach them. And it's like, you know, I mean, you know, maybe sell Rudiger. And keep Tomori, honestly. Everton, I know they need a centre-back. Mm-hmm. I was watching their game, yesterday or whenever. Yeah, yesterday. They were like, you know, the only two centre-backs that they have right now, that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rest are injured. So they need to, you know, that's why they're going for Tomori. But honestly, I don't want him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. It's a long season. We are competing on all fronts.
Mm-hmm.
You play Zuma, you play Christensen, you play Tomori. Thiago Silva. Hopefully, Rudiger comes back to his senses, you know. But yeah, there's competition, and if Tomori is to leave, I'd rather go for Rudiger.
Right.
Yeah, I'd rather go for Rudiger. Okay. Rudiger is less comfortable on the ball. You know, I'd rather go for Rudiger to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, we go on to the Arsenal game. I leave the floor to Faye because like we watched the game and all of that, and for me I just knew that Arsenal had to weather the storm because like that kind of game they just had to play and like hold on because like obviously like the players are not still the players that will take it to the next place, so they just had to weather the storm and say okay, we'll wait, we'll continue to fight through everything, and that's how they were able to win. But yeah, Faye, what do you think of the game?
Wasn't a good performance. Terrible. I think it's the worst one since Arteta came in. That one and the game against Aston Villa, worst performance. Xhaka wasn't good enough. Tobias was the only spark in the midfield. Saka wasn't good enough. Bamian didn't look like he wanted any part of the game. Willian was terrible. Pepe didn't affect the game. Lacazette was the only one in the attack. And as for the defense, Kolasinac. That's what I can say. Hector Bellerin. Bellerin had a good game. Holding had an iffy game because I felt like he dealt with Antonio well sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he just kept getting caught out of position every single time. I don't know whether he was fancying the battle with Antonio, but he kept going up the field, even though he knows he doesn't have the pace to recover, kept going up to win headers with Antonio, wasn't doing anything 1v1, but I let him off because he had a good first half. And then Gabriel, who was my man of the match, was solid, won everything in the air, had 4 tackles, 4 clearances, had a game-winning clearance as well, because when Leno went to gather the ball and he dropped it, I don't know if many people saw it, but when he spilled it, Antonio shot the ball straight at the post. But Gabriel was there to save it, and he's looked, so 2 games, he's looked very, very solid. It looks like a good buy. But it's still very early days, but I'm excited for him. But before the game, I said to myself, like, is there a way Arsenal can show the board that we still need signings, but not lose this game or drop points? And that was exactly what we did, because that team is not good enough. That team is not good. And those two are two best midfielders. Like, if Xhaka and Ceballos don't play, Arsenal do not function. Which is why every day we keep saying we need Partey and Aouar, we need Partey and Aouar, because we don't have any form of creativity in the midfield, which is weird to say about an Arsenal team, but it's the truth. The only form of creativity we have right now is balls over the top for Aubameyang. And that's not going to cut it. We need someone who is a ball carrier, can exploit the defense, defensive weaknesses, pick the spaces, find players that make runs. Several times, Saka and Aubameyang were making runs in behind. But Ceballos, I've always said this ever since we signed him, he's not a number 10 that will give you the final balls for your striker. He's a very, very good number 8. He's solid in a 2-man midfield. He's like a lesser form of Cazorla, but he's not that Ozil. That's why we need
Kovacic.
Yes, he's not the kind of guy that will progress the ball for you that well. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep saying we need Aouar. And also, if you look at the goal that West Ham scored, another reason why we need Thomas Partey, because if you watch Arsenal, you know that initiating attacks is what Granit Xhaka does for us. He's one of the best in Arsenal at initiating attacks, meaning he's meant to be our DM, but he can't because he has a lot of work to do up the pitch. So we were caught out completely in the midfield. There were no men in the midfield. And even though I think Kolasinac should have done better in closing down his man instead of backing off, if Partey was there, these are the kind of things that we can be able to avoid. So that I feel like that was a gritty win. I like the fact that even though we didn't play well, we're still able to win the game, because these are the kind of games Arsenal keep on losing every single year. But I like the fact that we won. But I also like the fact that we're able to show the board that this team is not good enough as it is right now. We still need signings, especially in the midfield.
Yeah. Joe, did you watch the game?
I did. I feel like of course they didn't play well. It's just I don't know if they didn't play well because, you know, they were just terrible, or, you know, it was just one of those games. You get what I mean? Because there are some games that it just doesn't happen. You get what I mean? And it's like you just have to dig in. At the very least, you just stay compact and stay as a unit in your defense. You know, so I don't know which of them it really was. I didn't watch the game in that much detail to be able to tell if the players were terrible or West Ham were just good. Were just good, you know. But definitely, as you said, it was a positive you could pick, right? It's like you know, we all know Arsenal would have lost that game months ago, you know. But at the same time, in terms of signing, definitely you guys need signings. And I feel like Arteta is definitely doing the best out of what he has.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know how you watch a team and you know exactly what they're trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like us now know what they're trying to do at the very least. Like, they look organized, you know, he has brought in an organization and they know what they're trying to do, you know? So, you know, it's just, of course, it's not going to work all the time, you know. I guess yesterday was just one of those games. Like, it just wasn't working. But in terms of positives, the Arsenal know what they're trying to do. They look better. They look more like a unit. They're able to dig in and win matches, you know. And that's progress. My only problem is, you know, you don't want to have so much of that at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? If you start having that right now, what's going to happen when you get to March, February, you know, April? But at the same time, as everybody is saying, the players are not the fittest, you know. So I guess we'll just have to go with that. But, you know, they did what they had to do and they won the game. You know, it's, yeah, I guess, three points at the end of the day, that's what matters. Mm-hmm.
That's what three matters. Points. But yeah, I forgot to speak about Liverpool's win on the, like, from Liverpool's side. For me, like, Liverpool won the game, like, okay, just because for me the red card kind of tipped them the balance. But I think Liverpool played well and all of that, and they changed that. Actually, when you just know that you have special players, like that signing of Thiago was just like, I come and take the title again for me in my own eyes, because Klopp knew that, man, these guys, we have one man against them. Just bring on Thiago. None of this. My controller is here. Let me allow him control the game. And he came on 75 completed passes in one half.
Honestly, I say this and people think I'm just stupid, but like, I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't know. I was low-key more scared of Thiago Alcantara coming to the Premier League than Messi. Like, I don't know how this sounds, but I was low-key more scared of Thiago Alcantara. It's just like he makes it look simple.
I know
Messi makes it look simple, and I know all of that, but, you know...
It's Messi. We know Messi.
You know, yeah.
That's what he is. He's like, a show off. It's just like it's easy for him, and you know it's easy.
Exactly. It's just easy. It's like, you know, this guy does everything. Slide tackles.
He plays like he's not trying.
The only thing that is missing from his game is shots. If he can shoot very well,
there's nothing else he wants again.
And add more goals to his career. Oh. There was a ball I saw he gave to Alexander Arnold. It's just like, I'm like, dude, why did he just pass it normally?
Oh yeah, the one he raised.
Like, why didn't you just pass the fucking ball normally? He just thing just pew 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 pew. I'm like, what are you doing? No, but I mean, of course, I'm not taking anything away from Messi. Messi is definitely a beast. You know, it's just that when Alcantara comes into this league, experience is also there. He's not just the talent. This is not just Kai Havertz that will probably have one or two bad games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will have, you know, bad games. It's like Alcantara will orchestrate that midfield. You know,
he's fresh of a Champions League win too. You're just like the high is there, like, bro.
And if you watched him in that Champions League games, the ones against Barcelona, Lyon, he's just, there's nothing
we don't, you don't see us praising midfield players this much. Like, but the guy is, he's good. He's good. You know, he's good. You know, I don't know. His ledge is good, man. I don't know how old he is. 30 or something.
29. Do you know how much? Do you know they're paying? They're just paying five million for him per year.
Kill me.
They paid just £5 million just for him.
That's a proper steal. I wish Chelsea went for that and sold Jorginho.
No, you know they wanted him.
He just wanted Liverpool. Match made in heaven.
Disgusting,
it's perfect.
Even speaking of Liverpool, now it's gone by two. Man, Diogo Jota. I was just like, you know when something just fits like
perfect.
I read that boy is very good, Diogo Jota.
He's good, but there's a point where you just know that something just fits like a man is.
He's a Jurgen Klopp player.
He's just like, enter. There's no
Portuguese
point.
Man name. That's what
it's just, and that's when in like so I was just like, you know what, these guys are winning again. Let's just wait for another season, because
if they get a centre back, because they might need a centre back, because the fact that Joe Gomez is injured, Matic is injured, and those are the only other centre backs that they have for cover.
Did you see Fabinho today?
Saw him. He was quality. But Fabinho, you'd rather not play Fabinho there throughout the season.
Yeah, true. I mean, why? Why do you know? But think about it. What do you think? They can play Fabinho there. Thiago is right in front. I mean, obviously,
there's not much you can do.
But like, I think there are also links for them to get one Ozan Kabak from Schalke or something like that.
Oh, yeah, from Schalke, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're just doing a madness, honestly. Liverpool.
Yeah, they're proper solid, you know. Yeah. They mean business this year again.
They're looking like a dynasty, to be honest.
They mean business. They're proper. Yeah, you know,
Didn't they wanted to add Werner to this equation? It's scary.
My God,
just nonsense. It's just unfair. But anyways, we'll go on to the next. Spurs today. I feel like
I didn't really watch their game.
I didn't even watch it at all. I watched the game. The problem was that Southampton just played a high line. Ralph Hasenhüttl.
That's what everybody. I've heard people say that.
Bro, it's 4 goals the same way. 4 goals the same way. High line, a fast player running from behind. Harry Kane does the ball because he knows that Son is going to be there. It was literally the same way for all 4 goals. High line.
You get to watch the highlights.
Yeah, you can watch the highlight. You see that it's just a high line. And honestly, like, I know everyone can say, yeah, it was a good game. But, like, technically, for me, from what I saw, it was just Southampton refusing to learn from their mistakes. They just refused to learn from their mistake. From the first 4 goals the same way. 4 goals the same way. It was just like, you guys don't want to win. So, like, for me, like, yeah, Spurs, congratulations to them. They played well today based on the team and all of that. But there's still that question mark for me.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to change. Gareth Bale, no Gareth Bale.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. Thank you. Don't get me wrong. Gary Bale is quality. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I think he's 31.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hasn't played much of football over the last 2 years.
Even if he has, he's not the type of player at 31 who's going to take Spurs to the next level. If they are really, really a team with ambitions. So when people say, Front three. This is a front three that will last, what, 1 or 2 seasons?
If not one. Bill is already out injured until almost the end of October. Can you imagine? One month out of a 9-month loan is gone already. Another thing is that Spurs, for me, is that they're playing so many games, so players are going to get injured. And Bill is always somebody that, you know, one small thing that guy prepared for another 2 months. So it's just like yes, fairy tale, homecoming, all of that is nice.
It's just, you know, it's not a build for the future.
Look at their manager now.
Yeah, it's a Mourinho type of signing in the sense that he buys bulldogs that just come and do the work, you know, and gives him that trophy and that's it. Like, I mean, if they're trying to win a trophy, fine.
Fine.
But I don't think
he's quality, world class, but I don't think he's that X factor that will make me think Spurs have moved to the next level.
Spurs needs to move to the next level.
The defense is still a problem, in my opinion. Like, it's all well and good sorting out your left back and right back, but your centre back is the heart of your defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Alderweireld is finished, in my opinion. Okay, let me not say finished, but he's almost finished. Oh, he's passed it. That's the word. He's passed it. And Davinson Sanchez just looks rans. Eric Dier is terrible at best, in my opinion. Who else do they have at centre back? They let go of Vertonghen. Tanganga is okay, but I don't think he's going to solve their problems. So I think they need a quality centre back. I heard they were in for Skriniar, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen again. But I feel that defence is going to give them a whole lot of trouble. And it's all well and good having front three, but with Jose Mourinho, are you going to utilise that front three? Is that front three going to be let to play?
Do what they want
to play. Because United had Martial, Rashford, and Lukaku. That seems like a very, very good front three. But Martial was playing left wing back, Rashford right wing back. So who knows? Who knows what we're going to see?
Yeah. And, you know, also them signing Reguilón. Reguilón looks like he's going to go back to Madrid, honestly, because
he's a glorified loan. Two seasons he has gone back.
He's going to go back. Like, Marcelo's contract ends how many months? I'm in exactly 2 years itself. And honestly, if Reguilón is doing well, I feel like they're just going to buy him back and sell him Morata. So all these kind of things just look like a kind of Mourinho set situation. That, bro, I will give you a trophy within the next 2 years. Just buy these players for me. So it looks like
there's word that Ali might be out as well.
Yeah, and they're looking open to selling Ali as well too. And they want to buy Jesse Lingard.
Can you imagine?
Jesse Lingard's own irritates me. It's like every day, any day, I'll pick Dele Alli over Jesse Lingard.
In your sleep,
even in Jesse Lingard's prime, I'll pick Dele Alli.
Jesse Lingard didn't have a prime. He just had a period where he was vibing. After that, nothing else.
Like, I don't get it. But I mean, as I said, it's if they want to win trophies, I guess they can. Definitely not the Premier League. We know that much. Definitely not any major trophy. But it's just. It's just like football has gone past that stage. You get what I mean? That is not what your rivals are trying to do. Your rivals like Liverpool have the likes of Trent Alexander. In fact, they are sorted in fullbacks for the next 10 years. Their front three maybe can use a little bit more youngsters, which they still have.
Watch them. They will start changing them out one by one. They're waiting next one. They've done Manuel. Next one, Salah. Next one, they've done Firmino's as well too.
Of Bayern Munich with the way they're just replacing players easily.
Look at the way Bayern changed their players. Liverpool are following that strategy too.
You know, it's like, and then you look at Chelsea.
Set for years.
It's set for years. You look at Man City to a large extent, set for years also. Fullbacks, Kyle Walker. You know, they have like two or three people who can play their left back. Is it Raheem Sterling? Mahrez. Who else? Mahrez.
Bernardo Silva.
You know, these are players who still have a decent 3 to 4 years to still play good football. Yeah. And it's like you're going to buy 31-year-old Gareth Bale. And Harry Kane is almost 30. I don't know how old he is.
He's going to be
27. Okay. He's next still year. Good.
27 or 28?
27.
I think 28, honestly.
27? Harry is too young.
Well, anyways, it's just like, if it's a financial problem, I don't know. They're stupid. They use all their money to build stadium and do document and do documentary. Well, I don't know. It all looked short-term from the time Mourinho came in.
Yeah.
And that's what it still looks like.
Yeah.
My problem is, also, their style of football is
bad. It reminds me of Mourinho's United. It reminds me so much of Mourinho's United.
You know, it's my question every time I see them play and I see Manchester United play is, what exactly are you trying
going
to do?
On here?
Like, what exactly are you trying to do? Like, I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chelsea with 10 men today, I still knew what they were trying to do. You could see what they were trying to do. But with Manchester United and Tottenham, it's like, what exactly are you trying to do? The only difference between those two teams is like, one is hoping for penalty and one is just hoping Son and Harry Kane do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, what are you actually trying to do? I don't know. But, you know, you even have players like Wolves. Even Wolves, beauty for the future. I heard they have signed a Liverpool 18-year-old or 19-year-old. Yeah. I heard it's pretty good. It's pretty good too. All their players, young and agile and strong. It's just I don't know.
Yeah, that Spurs look like a short-term thing, honestly. And it's just like for them. I think it's just a case of, bro, we need to try and get
a trophy.
But that's the thing I feel like people don't understand. They signed Mourinho on a heavy contract, 4-year contract. Daniel Levy cannot afford to pay him off. Tottenham are not united. They don't know how to... Bro, he's still paying off Pochettino's own. He's still paying off Pochettino's payoff. And he wants to pay off Mourinho's payoff too. He took a big risk. Or let's see. I'm not trying to say that Mourinho won't try and win something or win something here. But for me, in my own eyes, the likelihood just seems to be very, very low.
They can win Carabao Cup. If Man City doesn't care about it anymore, they can win Carabao Cup. Because Mourinho is the kind of guy that would play Bale against Lincoln or Wycombe Wanderers just because he's trying to get the trophy. So that when they sack him, he will say they didn't win trophy for 20 years. I brought them trophy.
I don't even want to start talking about their midfield. What does Harry Winks bring you?
I don't know. I don't know why Harry Winks gets called up for the English squad. Honestly. I don't know why he gets called up. Harry Winks doesn't do anything, in my opinion. He's just on the pitch running around. I'll be honest with you. I don't see Harry Winks doing anything.
Maybe I probably need to spend a little bit more time watching him. But so far, it's like he works hard. I'll give him that. It's just like, what do you do after that? You know, what else do you bring in? In terms of central midfield, the only good player I think they have that brings something dynamic is Lo Celso. The rest,
apparently, Dombele is doing well.
Dombele is pretty good. Is doing well too.
Dombele is a star boy. It's just that he's under the wrong.
They could use it. They could use a few more players there also. They could use a few good more players there. But as I said, they're a short term planner. They're the least of my problems.
But yeah, next team I just like to look over is Everton. Like honestly, like I watched them again yesterday morning, and I have to say, like, there's something. I think they might be doing something there.
With Calvert-Lewin. That boy is quality.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Go ahead.
You said something about him having to come out, hold the ball. And then Ancelotti, in his post-match interview yesterday, said he had a striker. I can't remember the team. I think he was talking about AC Milan and Zaghi.
Mm-hmm.
That Zaghi scored 300 goals and 210 were with one touch.
210 were with one touch.
One touch. That's more than definitely way over half, but with one touch. So, which is what I was trying to say, like, this kind of guy, maybe that's the way Ancelotti wants him to be, in the box. He needs to have a knack for where the ball is going to go. Like, because he's very good in the air and he can finish with his feet.
And his speed, and he has a good speed.
He's quick and he's very good with his movements. He knows how to get past players. Yeah. So I think that's what Ancelotti is trying to do with him, where he's just going to be that kind of fox in the box that knows where the ball is going to go. And all he needs is one touch, boom, back up.
Jamie Vardy kind of thing.
Exactly.
Exactly, yes, to an extent. But man,
I kind of agree with you on that, because like I watched his interview. I didn't really watch the game in detail, you know. But I watched the post match interview for Calvert-Lewin, and it's like the manager has actually been on him for his finishing, in terms of, you know, how to just create goals out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's like I don't know what else you could possibly want. You know, you have such an industrious midfield of Doucouré and Alan.
Alan.
You know, and you have someone like Rodriguez behind you, dude. It's only good things that are going to come out of that. You get what I mean? You know, so I feel like Everton are on the right path in terms of trying to push into that
Europe
top six. Yeah, that Europe six. You know, and you know they definitely do have the right manager. I don't think it's going to be. I think it has come to the end of that era of. Spending money and not seeing results for you, because I feel like they've had a few.
They've been doing that for the last four years.
Two windows.
Yeah, so I feel like they have come to an end of that. You can definitely see what Ancelotti is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely see what Ancelotti is trying to do. And you know, a few more transfer windows and
a few more center back, the right back,
center back, yeah, center back, center back for sure, and they'll be solid. Yeah, Lucas Digne has always been a quality.
Yeah, top three left backs in the league, bro. Top three,
you know, quality. He's definitely been up there, but yeah, he's I can't. Who did he even have as right back?
Coleman is old, but he still does a job. He still does a job there. He still does a job. But I just love their midfield of Alan Doucouré. Alan that I thought Alan was box to box, but he can do the job in DM.
He can sit
well. Doucouré box to box madness. Andrew Gomez can also ball as well too. He can even be as well too. And you now have James coming into from the right side, or even come and play number 10. Then they still have Sigurdsson. Sigurdsson is not really my player anymore, like the player he used to be. But they also have... I still feel like there's a point that Alex Iwobi can come back in here. I don't know why.
I've given up on that guy.
I don't know why.
The only hope for Iwobi is if he plays off the left.
Yes.
That's the only chance he has.
No, I feel like he can play that... Let's say in a case where Andre Gomes is injured, he can play as that inside number 8 as well too.
No.
Or let's say he's like
probably he's a very good ball progressor.
Yeah, he's a ball like defensively. The problem is that last season he was playing off the right wing, which was just like under Ancelotti. Like when Ancelotti came, I was just watching. They were playing 4-4-2, and I was just playing. It would be on the right wing, and I was just like, this guy has never been a right winger, so you won't see the best out of him. And it will be has always been that kind of half space player who plays like left side inside and all of that.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel if like he just needs to give me end products. You get what I mean? He also needs end products in his games. You know, it's like, you know, the same way he's also on Calvin Lewin to produce something, he should be on Iwobi also to produce something. But at the same time, he's not paid for that. He's paid to win games. And if Calvin Lewin is fit, if Andre Gomes is fit, if everybody's fit, of course, he's great for his first 11.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Iwobi definitely needs to. You know, he has a lot to prove. That's for sure.
Yeah,
he has a lot. Yeah. And I also kind of love the fact that I feel like, I don't know, but I also feel like Ancelotti hasn't given up on him. You know, he hasn't given up on him. Still trusts and believes him. You know, still, you know, has him in his plans. Because I feel like considering what Iwobi brings, which is close to nothing. You know, if you ask me in terms of products, or I mean, he moves the ball pretty good. You know, it's like there's a whole lot of managers out there who would have dumped him. You know, but Ancelotti still hasn't given up on him. And, if there's anybody who you want to literally pamper you, that's the kind of manager you need. You know? He just needs to not abuse it.
So our last game is the Man United game. I know.
You guys and Tottenham should be in the same WhatsApp group. Yeah, Tottenham should be. The only problem is Tottenham is probably a better team than you guys. Honestly, if you ask me, at the end of the day, they're probably a better team than you guys.
Obviously, they have, like, for me, like Tottenham. Yeah, they have
on paper.
On paper,
a better squad.
On paper, they have
a better team, not squad. Better team,
not squad.
Because your center backs, then they need to go back to the academy, learn the basics of defending. I said to somebody that David Luiz is a better defender than Victor Lindelof, and I will stand by that. Yes, he has a couple mistakes in him, but I don't see what Victor Lindelof does for Manchester United, to be honest with you, because I would rather put Eric Bailly in there with him, because Maguire, as much as I don't like him, as much as I don't think he was worth the money, as much as I don't think he's all that, Maguire brings the ball out of the defense. He's good aerially. He can read the game to an extent. But to be honest, Lindelof, I don't see it.
Maguire has a certain amount of ability. Like,
yes, that's what I'm saying. So I would rather
pay. He's not worth Maguire. 80 million. He's not worth 80 million. It was his reaction. I was just trying to say that Maguire is not worth 80 million. Talk less of 60 or 40.
I would rather play Bailly with Maguire than Lindelof, to be honest.
My point, or my thing, is I don't know why Maguire misplaces his passes every time he comes into midfield. I've seen that a whole lot of times yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've seen that a whole lot of times from him. And then, dude, you're not even the fastest.
Exactly. You know,
neither are your passes.
Doesn't have good, neither of them are even quick. So
He has good qualities. It's just his qualities, I feel like, are not consistent. If that makes sense. It's just like, I'm going to compare it to like Zuma, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because they literally almost have the same physique. Big, strong, good in the air, everything. They can bring down anybody. And it's like, I take Zuma every any day, anytime. You get what I mean? It's like, you know, Zuma probably will run quick, faster than Maguire to make slide tackles and will make better slide tackles. And it's just... Zuma is, you know, will do everything for you. It's just mm-hmm. like Maguire just, you know, will probably take another 3 to 5 business days to pick out the next pass. And it's like, I don't know. I just watched him. Maybe it was, I'm probably being too hard on him, but it's just the last game, everybody was...
Absolutely,
it was terrible. Pogba looked like
I don't know what's wrong with that guy.
Pogba looked like he didn't expect to see his name on the team sheet and was, you know, would have rather be
Bruno Fernandes did okay.
Bruno didn't have a good game.
I feel like the thing is Bruno tries so much when it's not working. He keeps like if you're seeing one particular thing is working, sweet, do another thing. There were a couple he kept trying to play the difficult pass when there's a simple pass from him. Like and then did Rashford play?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't see him throughout the game. I didn't see Rashford throughout the game. I didn't see Martial throughout the game, and it felt like there was no form of movement from the United team. Everybody was just stagnant. The only movement I saw was when Van de Beek came in. He kept trying to look for spaces, and that's how we got to go, even though it was from a mistake. But I don't know. It looks odd. It's what I was saying about United, that they need a defensive midfielder, because He's bad.
I would say now. Because everyone has been trying to come from me, and I'm just like, first of all, I expected that loss. Looking at we had no preseason. Looking at we're all still like we just finished a long season, and again back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I feel like no matter what the situation, that team was good enough to at least let me not say win, in fact they were good enough at least to compete.
You guys didn't compete.
Hell no, even win, you should at least win. Against Crystal Palace, against your home.
He's healing enough in the first goal. Even Luke Shaw. I don't know how we haven't gotten to Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw
in the first goal. It's the same thing with Kolasinac. You're a fullback because you should know how to defend. You can't just be losing your man every time.
Does Luke Shaw even know how to attack?
If you're not providing anything when you're going forward, at least do something defensively. No, all of them will be misbehaving.
Luke Shaw is just there because he's just privileged. Like, there's nobody else to challenge him. Just hold on.
Why did Wan-Bissaka not play?
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but I think Wan-Bissaka had few training days and all of that. But for me, the whole United situation is partly down to the manager, honestly. Like, if not fully.
Yes.
If not fully, because it's the same thing Joe just said. Joe said that, what are you trying to do? And that's the same situation. United only escaped through last season because of COVID. COVID partly helped us. What's the situation?
Arsenal helped you too.
A lot of situations of players coming back, then quality. Just quality is what that guy is. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer believes quality over tactics and structure, which will not take you far. And that's why for me, I've always said it, that Ole is just a foreigner. To me, he's just a foreigner because yesterday showed again that guy is incompetent. That there's some things you just... It's all about coaching. I've said it for Arteta too. Arteta did not have bad players, but we could see something that he's trying to do. But only it's just that we don't see it. And the thing is that now United, they don't want to sign anybody. Like, yeah, we can sign Sancho, but you don't have a DM. Matic is going to come back. Matic is going to come back now, and he will play one or two, five games, and he will lose his strategy. He will lose his body. You can't play McTominay because McTominay is not a footballer in my own opinion. In fact, not in any, my own opinion. In fact, that guy is not a footballer. he has nothing to his game. He's one of the most atrocious He's the most atrocious midfielder I've ever watched in my life, actually. Dan James is meant to be in the IAAF. That guy doesn't have anything apart from running. He needs all these players. And you think about all the, like, why are they still starting them? Like, you can see that these guys are not quality. McTominay can, they will say McTominay is saving, doing last minute tackle, but that guy positionally is the worst. He will go and hide in the midfield, in the midfield amongst the players. But you're a DM, come and help your defender so that he can take the ball out from the back. But no, he has zero to none ability, zero to minute ability.
It's the same thing with Shaw and Kolasinac.
Luke Shaw doesn't
offer anything going forward.
Luke Shaw has eight assists, almost, if not, he has in his whole minor career, bad injuries and everything, that guy has no more than 10 to 15 assists.
I don't think he has up to 10. I think he has up to 10 career assists.
That's just bad. It just shows that, man, you're not quality. And that's the thing about why I think United need to start, like, the board obviously is not helping the situation, like all of that, and all of the situations happening in the transfer window. But it just comes back to the fact that you have an incompetent manager. Then you now have to sign quality players. That means you have to sign quality players to do all of that and all of that, and to get situations done and all of that. But yeah.
My point is with Manchester United, the problem is from the top. We all know that the problem is from the top. Whatever is happening at the top with Ed Woodward and Co. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, at the very least, the manager should be able to give clear directions on what needs to be done, how to defend, how to attack, what they are trying to do with or without the ball, which obviously it doesn't look like it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard people talk about, you know, it's the first game of the season for them. Is it Crystal Palace? Yeah, Crystal Palace had already played 3 games already.
Yeah,
so they have already probably gotten into a rhythm. And it's like, yes, but at the same time, at the very least, so.
Go ahead.
So I'm like, at the very least, do what Chelsea and Arsenal did. Like, do what Chelsea did against Brighton and do what Arsenal did against West Ham. Mm-hmm. Dig in, fight, stay resilient, stay compact, wish for the best. Manchester United were just all over the place. Pass, 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 pass. They can knock the ball around all day mm-hmm. long and not get a shot on target.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a game plan for me. It wasn't a situation where Crystal Palace were so deep in their defending or were so solid or anything like that. No!
Mm-hmm.
No! They were not that solid. They were not that, you know, they were not that compact. They were not even nothing near to what the way Chelsea defended to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you're Manchester United. How can't you break them down? You have players like Rashford and Co. How can't you create something? You get what I mean? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, how can't you play with a plan? You know, that was absolutely not there. And it's just like, it was just shocking. You know, it's just shocking. It's like, did you even train at all? I saw clips of Pogba. He loses the ball, doesn't run. Yeah. Harry Maguire has to run back. Or they just look so disjointed. And it's, you know, I know I said them and Tottenham should be in the same WhatsApp group, but like Tottenham, you know, at the very least, you know, they are trying to stay back and play long balls to Son and Harry Kane. You know, something, or win the ball in midfield and play one long ball and hope for the best. You know, you can see them do that multiple times. But it's just like with Manchester United, I didn't know what they were trying to do. They just knock the ball around, knock the ball, knock the ball, knock the ball. When Crystal Palace win the ball, they'll shout and be like, oh, you know, they should win a foul. Harry Maguire tries to step into midfield, misplaces a pass. They have to run back and retrieve it. If they are lucky. Crystal Palace just suck at scoring goals.
They should have won that game by four.
Game by five. By five, at least, at the very least. The penalty they had, I don't even know why Ayew did not shoot straight at De Gea.
Don't know why he was trying to lob it.
To lob the ball. I don't know why. So Crystal Palace just sucked at scoring goals. If they were against a Western team of Antonio or even Bear Leeds, they would have eaten like seven goals already. You know, so it's just like they look. That's how disjointed they looked. It's like, I don't know what you're trying to do. Are you I literally do not know what you're trying to do? And Maguire steps into midfield, loses the ball. There's nobody to run back and get it. Like it's just all over the place, you know. And it's just like, yeah, they just look like they didn't talk before they played the game. And it's just like, there's no excuses for that. I don't care if you've not played in 2 months. You know, I don't care if you've not played in 2 months. Other teams like Chelsea and Co. It wasn't their best game, but they played, you know, they fought, they showed resilience, they stayed compact, and it's like, at the very least, that's what you're meant to do. And Manchester United didn't do that. You know, they got the penalty that they did get the penalty. It was from Van der Beek, and like I tried watching him from when he stepped in. He was always begging for passes. He was always trying to look for space.
And nobody gave him the ball.
And nobody was giving him the ball that often. And it's like, they still kept on playing their stupid way. And it's just like, you know, they get the ball. They don't, you know, they're just looking for, how do I put it? It's just like, you know, they're waiting for someone to come get it. It's like, there's no cohesion between what they're trying to do. And it's like, yeah, they just, it just looks so different. I honestly don't know how we ever got so excited about them last season. After lockdown,
well, honestly speaking, like Bruno gets the ball, and nobody is making a run for him, and you can't blame him for that.
Yeah,
but what I blame him for is the fact that when nobody is making a run for him, instead of playing like looking for the simple pass and trying to break these people down, he then tries to play one kind of pass like out of this world and. Impossible to do. Like, keep it simple. Keep it, if it's not working for you, you keep it simple. If nobody's making a run, you keep it simple. You try to break them down, then you let them know nobody's making runs, because literally there was no movement. There was literally no movement up front for United.
Manchester United, they just keep knocking the ball like stupidly. It's not like Liverpool
sideways, backwards,
the sideways, backwards.
It comes down to the manager. It comes down, like no, I said, it comes down definitely. To the manager. It's not a case.
We all know Ole is not good enough. 100%.
So, like,
we said this last year, that it's all well and good having players that are quality. But when it comes down to them needing to be coached, then he will be found out. And it looks like we're watching them.
We're seeing him getting found out this year. And honestly, like, with all the transfers, like, hold on. Just the real transfers, like now, okay, they want to sign Alex Telles. Oh, well and good. I just don't want to see Luke Shaw. That one will just give somebody peace. They want to sign a CB, which I think, honestly, like, is important. But for me, all this time, it's just the DM that is very, DM points, because Matic is finished in his legs. McTominay is not good enough. Fred can play it, but it's not still good enough. There are still players in the market that you can go and find. Heck, Ibrahim Sangare that is there for over £8 million. Yeah, low risk, high reward and all of that, but he can still do a job.
It's absolutely shocking, because like, yes, you can blame the board, you can blame Edward all you want. And I'm sure in teams like Arsenal, I don't know, maybe their board is still absolutely very bad. You know, maybe, you know, their board is still as bad as it was before Arteta even came, you know, before Emery even came in. But it's like Arteta has stepped in, and you can see that Arsenal are trying to do something. Even at the very least, even if they are trying to play long balls for Aubameyang, you can see that there's consistency. There's a game plan, and if they lose the ball, they go into a back five. And, you know, Xhaka is playing more. You know, nobody's talking about if Xhaka is good enough or if Xhaka is good enough anymore.
Exactly.
We're not having those discussions anymore. We're barely speaking about. I said it before. Everybody get used to it. Manchester United is a new Arsenal. Like, they're the new Arsenal. They're literally the new Arsenal. You know, maybe Arteta is not being given £100 million every transfer window or something. It's just, but at the very least, you know, even with the youngsters he's having, with Tierney, with Willocks, with Saka, you know, they know what they are trying to do. But it's like Manchester United has all this wealth of money and talent and everything, and it's like, what exactly is the game plan? Like, what exactly is the game plan? You know, it's not a situation like Arsenal that you can sit down and say, oh, Kolasinac is shit. It's absolutely terrible. In Manchester United, the game plan is not there, and which makes the whole team look so terrible.
Exactly.
You know,
so, it all comes back to manager. Like I said, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won't be here for me next year, because definitely, like, this time it's going to come down to just say that, bro, you have to show us tactics. Nobody's looking at you anymore.
How long has he been there for?
He has been here for one year, and he signed a 3-year contract. So if he's not doing well in the second year, he's definitely not going to be here in his last year. What?
He said the team, that people shouldn't forget that the team is still a team in transition. A team in transition, and Arsenal is playing way better than you. It's just, and Arteta has barely been there for 6 months.
Exactly. So it's all down to him. And I feel like he has enough quality to even try, to even like show us something from the start. It's not enough to say you want quality players when you can't show me something. Because when push comes to shove, structure will win over quality in football.
There's no excuse for that performance yesterday. I don't watch Man United. But that is the worst I've seen them play since I started watching football, except Jose Mourinho. I promise you, that was terrible at best. I could not see anything. Not a single form of, okay, this is what we're trying to do. Okay, us, we're even sitting back. Okay, we're trying to press. We're trying to counter press the opponents. There was nothing. It's as if he just said, it's like it's sports time and everybody's going out to play football. And like you do I1, I2 and you end up with those people and you guys are just playing based on I'm better than you. Like there was nothing, there's no form of coaching, no nothing. You cannot, are they playing high line? There's no defensive shape. He's up front. Maguire is behind. Lindelof is in front. Fosu-Mensah is outside the pitch. Nothing makes any sense for Man United.
they looked really shocking, man. And it's like it breaks my heart, because like I mean I'm not a Man U fan. It's just going, we are going to keep seeing more.
I don't think it's going to last long, honestly. Like maybe just,
you know, we're going to keep seeing more of that. It's just like,
it's not more of that, trust me, it's not more of that for me. I just think like a change of manager with this kind of, bro, look at the quality already there. You can't deny that there's no quality there. It's just about getting the outlook of quality. Like now, a manager should be telling that Luke Shaw should be overlapping and doing the right thing, but nobody's telling him that. A manager should do all of those kind of things, but if there's no tactics, nothing else will happen. But yeah, I don't think any transfer window will help anything, honestly. Like he's just gonna probably just help you maybe enter top four again. But my guy, only if Ollie is a real United legend, he has to come to his man and say, bro,
United should be all over Poch.
Poch is just sitting right there. I think like Poch knows that Ollie's time is still going to end soon. Like that's why that guy has rejected many offers now. I feel like he knows that, man, United might come calling. Because like Poch, you just come into United, he just needs one window. If they support him, I think United can challenge for a title from there.
One training session and you see what the difference that he's trying to make.
One training session.
One training session and you see.
Let's do a quick roundup. Mendy to Chelsea has been confirmed. I can't even say I will speak on the guy, because like
I don't know him.
He's better than Kepa, that's all we can just say.
My point is I don't know him, but Peter Cech has endorsed him.
Yeah.
And at the very least, he won't give away the ball with 10 men and one goal down. That's my point. Yeah. Like, I can't forgive Kepa for that. You literally have no... I literally started crying today, literally. I'm like, just kick the ball away. Kick the ball away. So, I don't know this guy, but definitely he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my problem with Kepa is, who is going to buy this guy?
They're probably going to just do a two-year loan. Allow him one year loan.
And like, he signed a seven-year contract.
How are you? Please, just skip to the next part of this.
I know that City are talking about Koundé. If you watch the Europa League match against...
Is he good? Is he any good? He actually has the potential
to be a quality player as well.
Too. Where is he from? What team does he play for?
Sevilla. He has a good quality as well. But also Arsenal, Depay and Owate. And apparently today it looks like there is a situation of giving Torreira to Atletico and they get Partey. So he might just probably end up playing 25 plus Partey. If that's an agreement, but I don't
that is like good business. If you
that's very good.
That's wonderful business.
That's good business, honestly. Then even we don't know how people are going to fund that one. But regardless, like the transfer window is almost here. I feel like this last 2-3 weeks because now
it's
people
going
are
to be crazy.
It's going to be madness. Immediately I saw that Bill Arreguy, and I was like, okay, there's a possibility that madness is coming in. Like people are
going to
start
to be
moving
crazy.
Mad. One injury to one of your players, and you see them, they'll start running helter skelter.
I honestly think Chelsea could have one more trick in their bag.
I definitely
in Declan Rice. I think that's.
I know. What do you think is like? Where would Declan Rice play? I haven't really like.
Your Jorginho role.
Jorginho, you come in and play. I don't.
Well, Declan Rice. I don't think he's ready yet. I just don't think he's ready yet.
Declan Rice is a baller. Declan Rice is a baller.
He is a baller. I've always said it that I don't know why Chelsea are not going all out for Thomas Partey because that would be a perfect fit as well too for me. I don't know. That guy would just fit perfectly in that Jorginho role the way you want to play. But I guess sometimes things just meant to happen in terms of that.
I think there is some talk about Partey saying it's either Atletico or Arsenal. I don't know about that. I don't know if it's true. Big up Pato Ranking too. He's doing the agent work for Arsenal, trying to get us Thomas Partey. But I don't know if it's true, but there was talk of him saying if he doesn't get his move to Arsenal, then he's signing a new contract with Atletico.
And that's the end, bro. That's the end. But I think he'll get his move, definitely. But yeah, I think that concludes. Yeah, that definitely concludes our episode for this week. Want to say thank you, guys, for listening to our episode. I want to say thank you to our guest this week, Jordan Ojo. Bless you so much. We appreciate you. Don't worry, we're coming back again. Back again for sure. And yeah, thanks for you for being here as well too. And yeah, thank you guys. Subscribe. Continue to subscribe on our YouTube podcast. You can find it at Comunicado Oficial, the podcast. Like, subscribe, share, comment. Let's get engaging. And if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, we also like to make sure you give us that 5-star rating so we can push the content more. And yeah, keep on listening and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Adios.